In Romans 1, verse 18 to 22, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools." And that's what's happened in a lot of our country, and it's something that we really should go to God about and pray. They've gone away from God. This was once a Christian country. Those that are called by his name, he says, a Christian. And when God is left out, people become fools. And just think of the intelligence of our politicians. They allow about 40 to 50,000 of our kids to be murdered each year, and then they replace them with about the same number of potential terrorists. How intelligent is that? And the people we're bringing in are not killing their kids. Terrible. But our scientists say, well, it's all man's problem. They even blame us for the weather. Know that? it's people burning too much stuff and putting too much carbon in the atmosphere, and that's all man's problem. When we learnt to fly and did what do you call meteorology, they told us that the sunspot activity of the sun causes the highs and lows on the weather map. I don't hear anybody talking about that, but that's what happens. And weather's caused mainly by the sunspot activity, nothing to do with too much carbon. And the other day they were talking about how, it's still man's problem, and that the temperature has reached the highest it's ever been on record. But in about 1840 or something, it reached 54 degrees out at Bourke, and five people dropped dead in the street from heat. And the heat time lasted for 24 days, and it was even over 100 degrees Fahrenheit at night. And down the eastern coast of Australia, there was in excess of 430 people died of heat-related things. But, you know, yeah. And the problems they try to solve, and it just seems to be foolishness to me what they do. If there's a water shortage and we're running out of water, what do? The government taxes it. They don't fix the problem. Don't even know where the problem's coming from. They just tax it. And now they're trying to put a tax on the air we breathe. Isn't that intelligent? It really is. And a lot of the times, the things they do are two-faced. You know, they chase pedophile people all to the ends of the earth for their bad things they've done to the kids, which they probably should too. But who's done the worst problem when they're murdering the babies anyway? You know, it's sick, really is. If anywhere there's a problem, they increase the penalty. There's a drug problem, they need more education. There's youth suicide and stuff, they need more education. Has anybody ever thought that what is the root problem? Does anybody suggest they need Jesus in their life? We get a big bikey problem. But Leon knows the answer to that, don't we? There's no bikey problem where there's Jesus in their heart. Quite often I get to some of mates, perhaps army mates, and we talk about things and solve the world's problems. But unfortunately, there's none of them that work. They suggested that if the war starts, we'll have to intern all the Muslims. 1 million of them? You know, oh, I don't know. But should all the Muslims turn to God, wouldn't that be great? See, we should direct our prayers in different directions, perhaps. What about a return to righteousness? Most of the things that are happening like that are solved by that. People are not going to understand any other way but really by God's judgment, and that's really sad. God's disciplined those he loves, and there's a fair bit of pruning to be done, I reckon. And the problem is not with others, it starts with us. I saw a 90-second video on the thing the other day about a Marxist economist from China. He was obviously a communist. And the bloke asked him, he was studying stuff in about democracy in America. And this bloke asked him, what did you come up with? Is anything was that important about it? And what he said was that the way that a democracy works is because most people voluntarily obey the law most of the time. And he said, if you take religion out of the picture, you won't ever have enough police to control it. And that's the things. Nowadays, we rename things to be more acceptable to a society. Abortion is the female's choice to look after a body, and, you know, many wish that they never ever did that. You don't... There's a lot of other things are called different names now. When one time they were adultery, that's what it says and it's what it meant. And but now it's got another name, but it's still the same sin. Yeah, God says, you shall have no other gods before me. It's not the problem of the refugees and the immigrants that come as people, but it's the religions they bring with them. The Bible says that when his people go away from him, God sends certain things as judgment on them to try them, to make them see and repent and return to him. First off, he sends pestilences. You know, in times past in the Bible, you read about that they had the canker worm turn up and they had the grasshopper problem and all this sort of stuff and ate everything out. And even today with all our sprays and stuff, there seems to be still these things keep coming. We've got European wasps, we got trouble now, the bees are becoming extinct. We've got trouble with diseases coming into our country and whatever. But do people really take that as a thing that God's trying to tell us something? And the next thing he does is withhold the rain. But we don't have that trouble in Australia, do we? If you're a farmer, you know something about it, don't you, Nigel? Yeah. Holds the rain. Fires and bushfires and stuff like that. The next thing he does is send war. It says in there, send the sword through your land. And war doesn't decide who was right. It only decides who was left. Yes. He allows us to be, and then when that doesn't work, he allows us to be governed by the people that we fear the most. If you think about in Israel, what happened? They kept going away from God, worshipping other idols, causing their sons to pass through the fire and sacrificing humans, all this sort of stuff, terrible. So God sent in the Assyrians and took them away. Went along much later and Judah was the same. And for their wickedness, God sent in the Babylonians who took them away to Babylon. So we've got a government running around trying to put band-aids on problems that they've created themselves. but never seem to get to the root cause of the problem, which of course is sin. The Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we're never going to get anywhere at all unless that problem is addressed. People's hearts have to change to invite Jesus in. There are people and cultures in this world that think it's fair game if you can get away with it. We've got a lot to thank our Christian heritage for, because in it is involved morality. But I know that in other countries, I was in Vietnam for a while, and it seems like that if you can get away with a thing, you can get away with it. That's their attitude towards things. It's not like our culture, although our culture is going that way. Who's had anything to do with some new Australians? Not all of them, of course, some of them. Catch them doing something, catch an undersized fish or something, and they'll understand English. They understand all right. They're just trying to get away with it. Yeah, Australia has got a motto probably that's, we need, everybody should have a fair go, mate, but doesn't seem to apply otherwise. Another thing I think is bad that's happening in our time is this honour killing, which is going on amongst the Muslims, of course. If you insult someone or one of their prophets, you get killed. And that's exactly the same as what the Nazis were doing. They're very similar to what the Japanese were doing, because if you insulted their emperor or whatever, they'd kill you for it. And there's a mention of that sort of thing in Genesis, and it's it concerned Simeon and Levi, who went out and killed a whole group of people in those days as a revenge for what happened to their sister. If you know the story, she went out into the end of the town and had a look around, and she got raped. Anyway, they waited a few days and they went out and they butchered the whole lot of them. And Jacob condemned it. He said in his when he was looking at blessing the tribes or all his family there before he died, he said, "Let not my spirit be joined to their company, and cursed be their anger." If you leave out the righteous thing, you won't have enough police to control it. Jesus showed his love to us, of course, and that he died to make us right with God. I heard it said the other day in reference to our armed forces that there are two defining forces in Australia that have offered to die for you, and that is Jesus Christ and our soldiers, sailors and airmen. We owe them a lot. Their freedom both from sin and to live in a great country has been blood-bought. How bad that all that should be if it was all for nothing. To be asked to die for your country. If you knew you were going to be doing that, would you be interested in going? If someone said, "Okay, pack up, go overseas, and die for your country," tell you what. The benefits of a Christian society are our security, prosperity, and it's God-given. But people will say, "Oh, we stole it from the Aborigines. We weren't supposed to shoot them or do that sort of stuff. We were supposed to bring the gospel to them." And there are very many fine Aborigines that are Christian people. You know, the prophets of old in the Bible, there was always seemed to be someone who stood up and confessed the sin of the people before God. You read in their books there, that prophet would get up and he would quote it in the Bible, how that before God they say, "We have sinned and our country is like we are, or we are in slavery, or we are in conquered people in Babylon. Lord, when we have done because we've sinned. And it really is not the prophet that was sinned. He probably was one of the best of the lot of them. But he confessed the sin of the people of the nation before God. And if we are priests and prophets of our day, which is what the Lord says we are, it's up to us to confess before God and pray for our nation. We're the salt that preserves stuff. If we don't pray and fulfil this job, our nation will go rotten. And it's well on the way. And we should pray for our leaders, even if they're corrupt. But God tells us to in this book. It's said that we get the leaders we deserve. But we really need Christian people in the government, don't we, to rule us.